I'd like to read some of the Vyasapuja offerings today and perhaps discuss them, so I'll go through the verse very quickly. Please repeat. Shri Gopa Uvacha. No. Shri Gopa Uchu. What's the difference between Uchu and Uvacha? That's it. Very nice, thank you. Very nice. Rama Rama Mahabaho.
Rama Rama Mahabaho.
Krishna Dushta. Nibardana.
Krishna
Dushta Nibardana. Ishavai Badate Kshunas. Touch chan team kartam arhataha.
Shri Gopa Uchu.
The coward boy said, Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
O Lord Ram, Lord Ram.
O Lord Ram, Lord Ram.
Mahabaho.
Mahabaho.
O mighty armed one.
O mighty armed one.
Krishna. O Lord Krishna,
O Lord
Krishna.
Dushta.
Dushta, of the wicked,
wicked.
Nibardana,
O destroyer,
Isha,
this,
Vai,
indeed,
Badate,
is causing distress,
Kshut,
hunger,
Naha,
to us.
Tat shantim,
its counteraction.
Kartam arhataha,
you ought to do.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. Translation by and purport by the dear devotees of Srila Prabhupada.
It's the disciples of Srila Prabhupada.
Not only are they devotees, but they're disciples. Thank you. The coward boy said, O Rama, Rama, mighty armed one, O Krishna, chastiser of the wicked, we are being harnessed by hunger, harassed by hunger. I'm sorry, I don't have my glasses, as you can probably tell by now. We are being harassed by hunger, and you should do something about it. Wow, that's pretty demanding. That's what you can do when you're on the platform of Sakyaras. Purport. The coward boys jokingly implied that since Sri Krishna is the subduer of all bad things, the Lord should subdue their hunger by arranging for them to eat. In this statement by the coward boys, we observe the intimate, loving friendship they enjoyed with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So why are they addressing them as mighty armed one, him as mighty armed one? Because if he can, a chastiser of the wicked? Because since he's the subduer of all bad things, certainly he can subdue their hunger. That's a piece of cake. It's easy compared to everything else. So this is very sweet, wonderful pastime. And we're all looking forward to reading it and discussing it. At the same time, what I always like to do during the time of Vyasa Puja, Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja, is spend a little more time glorifying Srila Prabhupada, because the way it's set up by Providence, Prabhupada's appearance day is the day after Janmashtami. And since devotees stay up very late, they trickle in for the Vyasa Puja ceremony. And we tried to extend it as much as we could this year, to give more time for readings and devotees to discuss. And it was fairly successful. At the same time, the devotees were hungry and some of them had to leave early. A lot came late. Some had to leave early. And there was so much realization, expressed realization of Prabhupada, understanding and appreciation of Prabhupada expressed in the Vyasa Puja book, that I was feeling that we certainly owe it to Prabhupada to spend a little more time meditating on him and glorifying him. Sometimes it's suggested that the public ceremony for Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja take place at a different time when it's more convenient for the devotees. For example, the Vyasa Puja offerings, festivals of the various spiritual masters, normally they're on a weekend and many, many devotees attend. In fact, many more devotees attend than attend Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja ceremony. It's often like that. And although we always want the spiritual masters to be glorified very nicely by their disciples, we certainly want Srila Prabhupada to be glorified at least equally. So I'm always feeling a little bit of pain during the Vyasa Puja ceremony because of this. And another way to do it is to just extend the ceremony, or else to have it in the evening. Late afternoon, evening. I've done that. We've done that in various places. So these are, I think it deserves some thought at any rate, how to get more devotees to come, and not just a little bit before prasad and, or before the artik or the pushpanjali, but really put their hearts into the Vyasa Puja. And also another very nice and satisfying activity during Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja is, because Srila Prabhupada is the spiritual master of all of us and the founder acharya of our movement, it's nice for all the devotees to say something in appreciation of Srila Prabhupada, because we all have some appreciation for Srila Prabhupada, not just the Prabhupada disciples. So we did that a little bit. It was nice, but I think we could do it a lot more. And we should feel some obligation to say something. And it's so enlivening for the other devotees, even if you just speak for 1 or 2 minutes, your appreciation of Srila Prabhupada, because everybody sees Prabhupada a little bit differently. Their appreciation is a little bit different because we're all different. So Prabhupada has touched our hearts in various ways. And we just say a little something. If the kids say a little something, everybody says a little something, it's so enlivening to hear, and it brings us closer together, Prabhupada's lotus feet as well. So these are all suggestions that maybe can be thrown around a little bit before the next Vyasa Puja, because we want to really glorify Prabhupada. And how can we do it the best possible way in the best possible moment and feel so fulfilled and so much closer as Prabhupada's children and grandchildren as a result of that. So, yes. Yeah, so yeah, everyone should be invited to speak. That's the point. Everyone, not only invited to speak, I think it should be not as light as, well, you know, if you want to say something, sure. But it should be, everybody should prepare something. If you don't want to say it, prepare it beforehand, read something. There should be a very intense meditation, a heartfelt meditation on Srila Prabhupada on the part of all of us. And if we share that meditation, which is what Prabhupada wanted us to do, then it's so much more nectarian if we do that. Okay. Yes, Prabhu.
Yes, Maharaj, I thank you. You bring such a nice point, because every time I felt when Prabhupada Vyasa Puja, everybody running, waiting for a prasadam, because previously everybody is very tired. It is very important, you know, your suggestion is really in the evening, and everybody should speak. Whenever only Prabhupada disciples will speak, other people just waiting, and they also have something to say. As you say, everybody's life Prabhupada touch, you know. It's not only Prabhupada direct disciple touch their heart, you know. So it's a very valid point, and I wish it should be happening like that.
Okay.
Everybody has to say
something. Let's see what we can do. Okay, so thank you, Prabhu. So I'd like to start out reading Shivaram Swami's offering. Dear Srila Prabhupada, on this occasion of your divine appearance, please accept my humble obeisances at your Raja dust laden lotus feet, and allow me to offer the following paltry words in praise of you and your mission, your eternal servant, Shivaram Swami. So here is his offering. Chanting japa, I walk along the dirt road from Sun Rock to Garuda Govinda in Vrindavan. Govinda Maharaj, 10 paces ahead of me. The late morning sun beating down from above. The silence of the Dham all around. Birds sing in the trees. A herd of blue cows graze nearby. And the silence is broken by the occasional gust of wind shaking the leaves on the trees. I see the banyan tree where the cowherd boys would rest, and the ruins of the large kund where the cows would bathe. I feel the transcendental atmosphere unique to Vrindavan Dham, a pervasive sweetness that invokes memories of the divine cowherd prince, of his exploits and his exchanges of love with his associates. As that sweetness mixes with the sound of my chanting and the sights of the Dham, completely captivating my heart, a very different picture suddenly comes to mind. A picture in a faraway land, and yet a picture pervaded by the very same Vrindavan atmosphere in which I walk. In Montreal, it is Montreal 1976. Srila Prabhupada and the devotees are sitting at Dorval Airport, waiting for the departure of the plane that would take His Divine Grace to New Delhi, and a meeting with Indira Gandhi. Srila Prabhupada sits in a chair fingering his beads, and we devotees sit around him chanting. Suddenly I feel a wave of spiritual energy that seems to wash away not only the sounds and sights of the airport, but the influence of the modes of nature from my heart. Suddenly I am seated in another land. I experience freedom, lightness, happiness, and sweetness. Inexplicable sweetness. Where does it all come from? The compass of my being spontaneously points to Srila Prabhupada. A waterfall of bliss, cascading wave after wave of transcendental emotion that transforms the waiting room into Vrindavan. The same Vrindavan in which I now walk to Garuda Govind. How wonderful! But how is it possible? Yudhisthira Maharaj explains, Bhavadvidha Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Svayam Vibho Tirtha Kurvanti Tirthani
Svantastena Gadabrata. My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.13.10. Because Krishna always resides in Srila Prabhupada's heart, wherever Srila Prabhupada goes is Vrindavan. He transforms whatever place he visits into that sweetest place of pilgrimage. In turn, the people in those places also become purified. And in time, they themselves become places of pilgrimage. Residents of Vrindavan. Residents of Raj. On that day at Dorval Airport, out of Srila Prabhupada's boundless grace, I became intensely aware of his Vrindavan presence. It was an experience not to be forgotten. It made me understand that Srila Prabhupada's traveling and preaching was taking Vrindavan all over the world and turning the entire planet into a place of pilgrimage. But as Govinda Maharaj and I neared Garuda Govinda, I recalled how Srila Prabhupada also wanted all his followers, especially sannyasis, to help him in distributing the sweetness of Vrindavan. He did not take such a responsibility exclusively as his own. Srila Prabhupada had said, quote, Tirti kurvanti tirtani svantastena gadabrita. Because a pure devotee carries Krishna within his heart. Therefore, wherever he goes, he makes a holy place. It is said in the Shastra, so not me, but every one of you. So this is a Prabhupada, quotes the Sanskrit, and he says, because a pure devotee carries Krishna within his heart, therefore, wherever he goes, he makes a holy place. It is said in the Shastra. So not me, but every one of you, if you are a pure devotee of Krishna, then wherever you'll go, that is a holy place. Tirti kurvanti tirtani. So become sannyasi means that he'll be pure devotee. And wherever he will go, he will purify. That is what sannyas means. That's Morning War Conversation, Marina Del Rey, Los Angeles, 14th of July, 1974. His divine grace ordered us to become pure devotees and transform into Vraja all the places we travel to and live in. I take a deep breath as if to inhale the Vrindavan atmosphere around me. In Dorval, Srila Prabhupada inexplicably revealed to me a glimpse of what it means to be Krishna conscious and to be an emissary of the spiritual world. It will take more than deep breaths to become the pure devotee sannyasi Srila Prabhupada spoke of. But it would be possible by repeated showers of Srila Prabhupada's mercy, the grace of Vrindavan itself, and the power of the holy names he has given. Although this year has not blessed me with such a transformation, I pray that one day I may honor Srila Prabhupada's appearance day by having become the devotee sannyasi who converts every place he goes into Vrindavan. When that personal transformation does come, when I one day join the ranks of such similarly accomplished God brothers and God sisters, that day will have been a suitable offering to his divine grace. He is most pleased when the Krishna consciousness he brought matures in his followers. O gentle Vaishnavas who celebrate the appearance day of our beloved Srila Prabhupada, O Garuda Govinda, O divine land of Raja, please bless me to one day offer a spotless Vrindavan heart at the feet of His divine grace, our ever well wisher. Srila Sivaram Swami Ki Jai. Any comment on Sivaram Swami's offering? Any of the points that he made? Of course. Oh, he's so humble, yes. And of course, Prabhupada wanted all of his disciples, not just his sannyasi disciples. Perhaps especially as sannyasi disciples because they've taken that responsibility. But all of us have accepted that responsibility to follow Srila Prabhupada. And following Srila Prabhupada means just this. Ultimately becoming a place of pilgrimage, inspiring everyone that we meet in Krishna consciousness by our words and by our example. So nicely and sweetly put. Whoever here has had the, I guess only Prajapati Prabhu, has had the opportunity to associate with Srila Prabhupada can identify very easily with what Maharaj is saying here, how Prabhupada transformed the atmosphere into Vrindavan. Our faith in Krishna always increased when we were with Prabhupada. Our faith in Prabhupada always increased. And our feeling of fearlessness and detachment from the material world was also increasing in Srila Prabhupada's presence. That is the effect of such association. Next, I'd like to read Ravindra Swarup Prabhu's offering. He discusses a very pertinent and well-discussed theme common to all of us, very nicely written. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu is one of the best writers in ISKCON, very intelligent devotee. So he offers his pranams and he says, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, who is the indwelling animating spirit of our institution and the ever gracious guide for all members who strive resolutely to perfect their Vani Seva to him. That personage blessed us with this instruction during his last days. Colon, here's the instruction. Your love for me will be shown by how much you cooperate to keep this institution together after I am gone. End quote. Srila Prabhupada spoke often on the theme of cooperation. The English word is derived from a Latin verb meaning, quote, to work together with. But a study of Srila Prabhupada's use of this term reveals it to be, for him and us, a concept enriched with profound spiritual import. In a lecture delivered in Seattle in 1968, Srila Prabhupada conveyed this import with characteristic simplicity. When you do something in cooperation with the Lord, this is quoting, that is called bhakti. Adding a little fine tuning, end quote, adding a little fine tuning to it, for even those who refuse cooperation with the Lord, adding a little fine tuning to it, dash, for even those who refuse cooperation with the Lord remain subject to his control, end dash. Prabhupada said, so, automatic, that is voluntary cooperation is bhakti. And forced cooperation is karma. End quote. That's interesting, isn't it? How Prabhupada describes that. Everybody has to cooperate. Either do it voluntarily or by force. But we're all under Krishna's control. End quote. Cooperation is the vital principle of healthy social relationships. And as such, it has its highest application in divinity. Since God is supremely personal, parenthesis, the supreme personality of Godhead, end parenthesis, then he is supremely social. For personhood becomes manifest only in relationships with other persons. For that reason, as Prabhupada said many times, quote, Krishna is never alone, end quote. His devotees become part of his own identity. Quote, when we speak of Krishna, Krishna means Krishna with his devotees, end quote. Prabhupada said in Los Angeles in 1969, he explained, Krishna is never alone. Krishna is with Radharani. Radharani is with the gopis. And Krishna is with the cowherd boys. We are not impersonalists. We do not see Krishna alone. Similarly, Krishna means with Krishna's devotees. Can't separate. Although the Supreme is one without a second, that was end quote. Although the Supreme is one without a second, in other words, absolute, as the Supreme Person, he is also supremely relative, entering into relationships with many, many devotees by means of his multitudinous divine forms. Herein lies his inconceivable greatness. Not only is he supremely absolute, but he is at the same time supremely relative. Parenthesis. In fact, we know his relatives by name. So now he's using it in a different way. Yasoda, Nanda, Balaram, etc. In such a way, a transcendent relativity is manifest as a society of the utmost cooperation. And through the conduct of those relationships, the Lord eternally increases in beauty, opulence, bliss, and knowledge. The highest calling of the self-alienating living entities is to become full members of that society. Right? Bhakti yoga is the practice by which we become prepared to join it. Cultivating our aspiration, we await that day we may be so favored as to be invited in. Right? Krishna's entourage. We can therefore understand salvation as ultimate social integration. Conversely, damnation is ultimate isolation. By cooperation, by bhakti, we become increasingly integrated into the divine society, closer to Krishna and closer to his associates. And at the same time, we try to bring others with us. Quote, and this is the highest yoga, Srila Prabhupada said in 1968 in San Francisco. Prabhupada continues, if you push on this movement of Krishna consciousness, then you'll be performing the highest type of yoga. Don't be misled by so-called yogas. This is yoga. Yoga means cooperation. Cooperation with the Supreme. I'm trying to understand if that's Prabhupada or that's Ravindra. Here in this age of dissension, we are to cultivate the Yuga Dharma. This is Ravindra. which is the yoga of cooperation. It's often called the yoga of love, right? What does love mean? It's the same thing. Service, cooperation. It's the highest form of cooperation. He continues, making the satisfaction of Srila Prabhupada our common and unifying aim, we become closer to each other, and by the same effort, to Srila Prabhupada, to the six Goswamis, to Sri Chaitanya, to Sri Krishna. Prabhupada therefore put much stress on this principle of cooperation. When internal dissension threatened his own organization in 1973, he wrote to Kirtananda Swami, quote, "Now this displeasing of God brothers within ISKCON has already begun and gives me too much agitation in my mind. Our Gaudiya Math people fought with one another after the demise of Guru Maharaj. But my disciples have already begun fighting even in my presence. So I am greatly concerned about it." And then Rinjan says, he followed with the now famous disquisition on the principle of unity in diversity. So when you go home, look that word up. Disquisition. So this is what Prabhupada says. Material nature means dissension and disagreement, especially in this Kali Yuga. But for this Krishna consciousness movement, its success will depend on agreement, even though there are varieties of engagements. In the material world, there are varieties, but there is no agreement. In the spiritual world, there are varieties, but there is agreement. That is the difference. The materialist, without being able to adjust the varieties and the disagreements, makes everything zero. They cannot come into agreement with varieties. But if we keep Krishna in the center, then there will be agreement in varieties. This is called unity in diversity. I am therefore suggesting that all our men meet in Mayapur every year during the birth anniversary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. With all GBC and senior men present, we should discuss how to make unity in diversity. But if we fight on account of diversity, then it is simply the material platform. Please try to maintain the philosophy of unity in diversity. That will make our movement successful. End quote. The principle of cooperation, then, is the driving force of unity in diversity. And the principle of unity in diversity, affirmed by Srila Prabhupada, is, quote, philosophically known as achintya-bheda-bheda, simultaneous oneness and difference. That's from the purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 10.1.13. In the atheistic realm as well, beauty is unity in diversity. And the greater the diversity, the greater the value of the unity. Parenthesis, the divine society maximizes both. Prabhupada employed an aesthetic example to explain the potency of cooperation in Sankirtan. Speaking to devotees in Mayapur in 1976, during a time of dissension, he stressed how cooperation is the essence of our movement. He explained that Lord Chaitanya himself is pleading for our help, our cooperation. And similarly, he, Srila Prabhupada, is making the same plea. Quote from Srila Prabhupada. I imagine this is during, during the talk to the devotees. You are cooperating, therefore I am getting the credit. Otherwise, alone, what could I do? Ekari amara nahi payabolo. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself wanted our cooperation. He is God, Krishna. And therefore, cooperation is a very important thing. Nobody should think that I've got so great ability, I can do. No. It is simply by cooperation we can do very big thing. United we stand, divided we fall. End quote. Sankirtan, Prabhupada went on to explain, means that many varieties of people are coming together. Sankirtan. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Combine together, this is Prabhupada. All nations, all persons, they should combine together. There is hope in our society. Combination. There are Hindus. There are Muslims. There are Christians. There are black, white. Combine them. And then he gives the example of a bouquet assembled from diverse flowers. When the individual flowers are all thus unified, each becomes enhanced in its own beauty. Even if by itself it had not seemed so attractive. Each and every flower, take alone, it is not beautiful. But when they are combined together, it looks very beautiful. It is attractive, and that is wanted. Because from the spiritual platform we are all working, Pandita Samadarshina, spiritual platform, every one of us, we are servant of Krishna. So that's Prabhupada again. It's not so clear, but I think I'm getting the hang of it. Here then, through the principle of cooperation, this is Ravindra, the highest principle of divinity is made manifest in this world by Lord Chaitanya as the most exalted antidote to this most debased age of dissension. Srila Prabhupada did not want our individuality suppressed, quite the opposite. Yet, when there is individuality, there will inevitably be disagreement. Acknowledging this, he coached us in ways to repair any breaches. When the Bhagavatam relates the moving reconciliation between Maharaj Prithu and Indradev after their fierce conflict, Prabhupada remarks in his purport, Bhagavatam 4:20-18, quote, both King Indra and Maharaj Prithu were envious and angry with each other. But since both of them were Vaishnavas, or servants of Lord Vishnu, it was their duty to adjust the cause of their envy. This is also a first-class example of cooperation, cooperative behavior between Vaishnavas. In the present days, however, because people are not Vaishnavas, they fight perpetually among one another and are vanquished without finishing the mission of human life. There is a great need to propagate the Krishna consciousness movement in the world so that even though people sometimes become angry and malicious towards one another, because of their being Krishna conscious, such rivalry, competition, and envy can be adjusted without difficulty. So that's the key. If we're Krishna conscious, we can adjust these things. If not, there's a lot of difficulty. But even if we can adjust them with difficulty, that's good. Ultimately, there won't be any difficulty. Then his final paragraph. Bhakti is the yoga of cooperation. It is social yoga. It is to be cultivated in and exemplified by the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. To be sure, we are a highly diverse group with many members of distinct individuality, sometimes richly ornamented with idiosyncrasies. Yet as we become unified through our love for Srila Prabhupada, we will realize the blessings of this yoga. Of course, as yoga, Our discipline requires some austerity, as described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We must aspire after the humility of the grass underfoot by not seeking or welcoming any praise, honor, or recognition from others. In bhakti, the way up is the way down. We must seek the forbearance and magnanimity of the fruit tree by offering to others all respect and appreciation. We wish to remain undisturbed even when there is every reason to be disturbed. In this way, we will remain fixed and steady in our practice and so become increasingly close to each other, to Srila Prabhupada, and through him to all the previous acharyas and saints, and to Sri Krishna with his beloved associates. Moreover, with the powers and virtues thus acquired, we will transform ourselves as individuals and as a society, so as to be able to encompass the entire world within the embrace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, fulfilling the destiny seated within the name International Society. International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Rabindra Swarup Das. Hare Bhav. So in San Diego, just to continue the train of thought that we started before we began reading the offerings, in San Diego, I remember, I'm not sure if they still do it, but for the next week, instead of the Bhagavatam class, we would read the verse and the purport, like we did this morning. Then we read the offerings and meditate on the glories of Srila Prabhupada. So many amazing offerings, as we can see. So there's a number more that I would like to read. We'll see how far we get. This is a very nice offering from Giriraj Swami. It's long. Wow. But it's very, very sweet. Yes, Manaji. The books came in. If one ordered a book, then it came in. Yeah. And there's also the Prabhupada Tributes book, which is the offerings of all the disciples, all the Prabhupada's disciples. In addition, I didn't get my copy of that. By mistake, the devotee sent me a copy, this copy, which I'm very fortunate to have. In addition, you can find on krishna.com, if you search homages, Vyasa Puja, there are a couple of places you can look. One of the places starts from 2011 on back. The other place are the offerings from 2012, krishna.com. So, Giriraj Swami. Srila Prabhupada, a Vrindavan man. It was April of 1977 in Bombay. You were living in your new quarters on the top floor of the West Tower in Juhu, so ill that you never left them, and no one was allowed to visit you. I had become sick and practically just lay on the floor in my little office. My policy had been to listen only to the songs you had given us, the ones in songs of the Vaishnavacharyas. Someone had handed me a tape of Mangalananda Prabhu singing original songs, and somehow I thought, okay, maybe I'll listen. One song particularly affected me, and I listened to it again and again. His songs are fantastic. Fantastic lyrics. Great for preaching. Everyone is encouraged to write songs in their native language. The words were about going back to Godhead, And while listening, I would think of you. I would feel happy because clearly you were soon going back to Godhead. Although in one sense, you already were and always were back to Godhead. And I felt, this is my only destination. One day, I am destined to also go to the same place. To that period in 1977, I never listened to the song again. I had a fear that it would bring back the memory of those days too intensely. But today the words strike me as relevant, for they remind me of you. What were you like and where you were going? They also suggest, as they did when I first heard them, what I should become like, and if I do, what destination I will achieve, all by your grace. The song begins with a wonderful description of devotees, of you, and what happens to them. Here's the song. I forgot the melody, so I can't sing it. I'm sorry. But here's the poem. Selflessness relieves the stress. The gentle rain of happiness puts out the burning fire of life. Transports the soul beyond all strife. Past starry night and cruel death. For those who give their living breath. Upon their lips the holy name in praise of him who came. To them a store of bliss is known, and hidden worlds to them are shown. And it concludes with a beautiful description of the spiritual abode and the life that awaits us there, which is our goal. Here it is. Where the Supreme Lord fills every eye, sweet jubilation fills the sky, as dancing milkmaids and coward boys play in forests green with joys, of bale and jackfruit lily white, an endless full moon nectar night, of dancing magic, loving smiles, and gopi damsels' playful wiles. They sport in lotus lakes with he whose glances taste of ecstasy. Back in April 1977, I knew that you would probably be leaving us soon. So I was thinking, what will happen after you leave? Once I even thought, what will happen to me? You had always personally protected me, so I wondered, what will happen to me after you leave? And I would listen to the song again and again. I knew that you were going, and I knew that what was described in the song was my goal and ultimate destination, but I had no idea when I would reach it. 35 years have passed since then, and so much has happened to me individually, to us collectively, to the movement, and to the world. And that goal or destination, which seemed so immediate when we first met your divine grace and joined you, now seems more and more distant, almost unattainable. We know that your mercy is always there, and so there's always hope. But last year, your mercy was manifest to me in a somewhat unexpected way, which made me feel new hope. Last October, you brought me to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, to the association, the shelter and guidance and support and friendship of many of your dear disciples. And that combination, Vrindavan with the association of close God brothers, proved to be especially powerful. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 22:128-29, 5 items of devotional service are especially potent. Sarasanga, Nam Kirtan, Bhagavat Shravana, Maturavas, Sri Murit, Muritira Shadaya Shadaya Sevana. Is it Muritira? I guess. No, it's probably Muritira. I can't see it. Quote, one should associate with devotees, chant the holy name of the Lord, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, reside in Mathura, and worship the deity with faith and veneration. And Sakala Sadhana Sheshta E Pancha Anga, Krishna Prema Janmaya E Panchera Alpasanga. These five limbs of devotional service are the best of all. Even a slight performance of these five awakens love for Krishna. Somehow, although I am so unqualified, you arranged for me to stay in Vrindavan in the association of dear God brothers continuously for months, much longer than ever before. And I gained hope that I might one day somehow attain my eternal service in my eternal home with you. Akura's words as he approached Vrindavan suddenly seemed more relevant, more true. Maivam mamadamasyapi syad evachyuta darshanam hriyamana kala nadya kvachit tarati kaschana. Because I am so fallen, he's saying, Akura, I shall never get a chance to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. End quote. This was my false apprehension. Rather, by chance, a person as fallen as I am may get to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although one is being... No, it's hard for me to understand. This is still Akura. Although one is being carried away by the waves of the river of time, one may eventually reach the shore. Bhagavatam 10.38.5 is cited at Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 22.44. Of course, I do not know when I will ever see the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly, but I did feel that, quote, by chance a person as fallen as I may eventually reach the shore, end quote. Somehow, Srila Prabhupada, your mercy was bringing me closer. I felt at home in Vrindavan and could relate to one of your descriptions of Vrindavan and the nectar of devotion. Here's the description. I remember the Lord standing by the banks of the Yamuna River, so beautiful amid the Kadamba trees, where many birds are chirping in the gardens. And these impressions are always giving me transcendental realization of beauty and bliss. This feeling about Mathura Mandala in Vrindavan, described by Rupa Goswami, can actually be felt.